Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here today. To get my age, it's good to be anywhere. We're going to get right into it because it may be a little lengthy sermon because it contains a lot of the Word of God. And we're a people of the book, so that ought to be all right with us.
Amen.
So the first scripture we'll be looking at to kind of set the mood for what we're looking at this morning is Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 as we think about beware of deception and misconception, especially in matters of salvation, in matters of grace, and in matters of Christian living, because there certainly is a lot out there in our world today that certainly is not according to the Word of God. We find many, many misconceptions and deceptions out there in our world today. So to set the tone for what we're looking at today, let's look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Well, it kind of opens our mind to the fact is, you know, we have that blessed assurance, and we should not doubt that. But we also ought to remember that there is requirements along the way that we are to be faithful to. And God has commanded in our life. As Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So the warnings are all over the Word of God. That's just one of many. And certainly we know in our culture we live today, it seems like everybody's going to heaven. You notice that? It doesn't matter whether they've been obedient to the gospel or not. It doesn't matter whether they're living the life or not. Everybody's going to heaven. And when you visit those visitations at funeral services, well, what do you hear a lot? Well, they're better off. Well, I tell you right now, my friend, if they're not in Jesus Christ, they are not better off. It would be better to live your on and on and on in pain and misery than it would to depart this life apart from Jesus Christ. So that's what we want to look at this morning. Beware of deceptions and misconceptions. They're all around us, and we certainly see them everywhere. We, too, had better take heed to this serious business. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. That's just one of many warnings that's throughout the Word of God. It's not there just to take up space. It's there so that we will take heed to what's going on around us and how we're actually living. And in the culture we're living in today, it's awful easy to become into that misconception and that deception that's out in our world today. Sometimes we become kind of ho-hum, don't we? We become kind of mediocre in our Christian living. Well, the Bible says that we must be very sincere and very passionate about living that life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the worst deception in our world today is certainly not from Satan. It's not from the world around us. The greatest deception today is self-deception. And we got to be aware of that. Sometimes we get to our what I think, feel, and believe in the way of what a thus saith the Lord has to say unto us. So beware of thinking we know better than God. You know, people go to these seminaries and these places to try to learn more about God. And it seems like after they get their PhD, they know more than God. They know more than God. And they bring forth things that God did not say. And they bring forth methods and things that God does not ordain in His Word. Beware of thinking we know better than God. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, and it's also found in Proverbs 16 verse 25. And it's emphasized there for a reason. It's there twice for a reason. It shows us that God puts great emphasis upon this matter there in that verse. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And again, it's not there just to take up space in the Word of God. It's there as a warning unto us. And we find warnings throughout the Word of God, and not only just there in Proverbs 14:12. So we can only have deception and misconception in our life if we allow it. We have to allow it. Even a child can understand what God says in His Word. In God's Word, a child can understand what it means to come to Him. It's a matter of salvation. We can know what God's purpose is for our life. We can know all those things. We can know the will of God because God has made it so plain even a child can understand. And He's given us the power so that we can live that life. God does not require anything of you that He does not give you the power to complete it. God gives you the power if you have the desire. That is the key. Beware of professional help. The only way you can misunderstand the way of salvation is given in God's words if you have professional help. An 8-year-old can understand what God's Word says about this matter of salvation, about the matter of living for the Lord. So we need to be sure that we have a thus saith the Lord for that which we believe and practice in our life. Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. For such men are slaves not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. You know, if they can sing beautifully, and if they can play the piano or all kinds of instruments there, and they have the smooth talk there, and just everybody's going to make it to heaven, and you don't have to do anything, just believe in God, and they are smooth, and they are misleading many today in our world. So this morning we want to look at the deceptions and misconceptions concerning salvation, concerning grace, and concerning Christian living. And I believe that is major in our day and time. I believe this may be one of the most important sermons I have ever preached in my entire ministry. Because we live in a day when everything is all right. Again, everybody's going to heaven. Doesn't matter what kind of life you're living. Doesn't matter whether you have been obedient to the plan of salvation in God's Word or not. So the first thing we look at is the deception and misconception of salvation. In the matter of salvation, we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Where the Bible says, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all is over all and through all and in all. Do you notice there that oneness? God is not a God of confusion. God is a God of order. And seven times in those verses, we find the term one. And we do not find that there's many, many ways to heaven from planet Earth. There's only one. For every truth of God, Satan has a counterfeit. Did you notice that? For every truth of God, Satan has a counterfeit. Notice in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And look what's happened today. Millions and millions of people think that Peter is the Pope. They think the church is built upon Peter. And nothing further could be from the truth. You notice the two Greek words there on the screen. The first one is Petros, which is Peter. And that means a small pebble. And it's a masculine in gender. And then we look at the rock he's talking about here. And that is Petra. That is a feminine gender. So it could not possibly be Peter. And yet we see all that deception that's out in the world today. And that word for rock there, it means bedrock. It means a solid rock and a solid rock foundation. And Jesus said, I will build my church. That's singular. Jesus did not build all those churches we see out in our world today. He built one church. And you're either going to be a part of that church or none. Remember he said, what? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Jesus said, I will build my church. And that too is singular. And look at the scriptures and all the counterfeits that Satan has that he adds to or takes away from. Look at Eve all the way back in the beginning. It started all the way back in the very beginning. What did God say in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17? God said, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat of it you will surely die. Four words there. You will surely die. What does Satan say? Well, Satan comes along in Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. Notice one word added. And still it changes everything, doesn't it? And we find that Eve believed Satan rather than God, and we've been suffering from it ever since, haven't we? That they did die. They died spiritually the moment they ate of the fruit. And they began to die physically. They began to die physically after that point, and now we all die because of that. So again, Satan has a counterfeit for everything that God has that is true. Could it be the plan of salvation? What's the world say? Just bow your head and ask Jesus come into your heart. Well, I want you to find that for me in Scripture. I've been looking for it for nearly most of my 80 years, and I haven't found it yet. I keep looking, but I just can't seem to find it, and I can't find anybody else that can find it either. You know, bow your head. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Be good to your neighbor, and just go along in life. Everything's going to just come up roses. Everything will be fine for you. Well, what does your Bible say? What does your Bible say? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39... Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Too many stop there. It goes on to say in verse 39, "For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." Brethren, it is locked in for all times. There's only one way to heaven, planet Earth, that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way into Jesus Christ, and that's the way you heard there from Peter on the day of Pentecost in the very beginning of the church. Every part of that plan is essential. Every part of God's Word is essential. Faith is essential. Repentance is essential. Confession is essential. Baptism is essential. Christian living is essential. All of it is essential, not just one part of it. We again need a "thus saith the Lord" for all that we believe and practice in our life. Not what I think, not what I feel, not what I believe, but what does the Word of God say? What does it say? That's the book that's going to judge you on the day of judgment. It's not going to be all those opinion of men out here, what they think, feel, and believe. What's going to judge you on that day will be the Word of God. So that's why we need to get into the Word, let the Word get into us. It must become incarnate in us, and we must flesh it out on a daily basis. Notice in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus asked the question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Well, that's a relevant question today, isn't it? That's a question we ought to be asking ourselves, you know. We ought to be asking ourselves, why do you call him Lord, Lord, and do not what he says? Again, John 14, 15. If, notice that little big word, that's probably the biggest word with the most meaning, the smallest word with the most meaning anywhere in our vocabulary. That big word, if. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's the motivation? Is it legalistic? Is it out of fear? No, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That all begins there. It doesn't begin at all. What's the very first, the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. So that requires everything and all the power, everything we can muster. We owe it to God, don't we? We owe it to God. Again, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Contrary to popular belief today, there is absolute truth. That absolute truth is the word of God. As he had told over in John 17, he said, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. So there is a truth today. But long through the years gone by, way back when, they decided truth was relevant. Truth is just whatever you decide to be. What's true for you may not be truth for me. Everything has to do with relevance. And that is for the saying the truth you'll find. But that's what's being taught out in our schools today. And many of our churches seem like today believe that as well. Well, truth is truth whether I believe it or not. And truth is absolute. And God's word is absolute, absolute truth. Oh, how we need to heed the warning there in Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, 14, what do we read? For the gate is small, and the way is narrow, that leads to life, and there are what? Few who find it. Brethren, that verse is a small verse, but it ought to get our attention. It ought to get our attention. The gate is small. That means you can't take the world with you. You can't take all that bondage out there with you. There's only room for you to go through that narrow gate, that narrow way, that small way. So only as you get rid of everything, then you go through that gate, and the way is narrow. Broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And again, it doesn't put it there just for nothing, does it? And the last part of that verse is certainly very important. Few who find it. That ought to definitely get our opinion, ought to get us to examine our lives, which we ought to do every time we gather around the Lord's table, and be sure we're of the faith, shouldn't we? Be sure we're of the faith and not being deceived and have misconceptions according to the religious world and the world round about us. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, if that's not enough for us. In fact, I recommend you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 at least once a quarter. And especially chapter 7. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But what? He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, notice, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Look what all these people did. And to get to the end of it, Jesus said, I never knew you. Why did he never know them? Because they had never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'd never come in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. They believe the lie out there that 98% of the religious world is propagating out there today. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. But brother, if the foundation is not right, it doesn't matter what you build on it, it's going to fall. And the only foundation we can have is Jesus Christ. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation. There's only one way into Him, and that is through the Bible plan of salvation and our obedience to it. So again, every part is so important. And the warning of the foundation is not only there, but Jesus is the only one. But he also talked about that again. And the latter, moving on down into Matthew 7 there, in verse 24 through 27. Therefore, you know, the therefore means, you know, pay attention. That means wake up. Look at all everything else he's had to say, and now look at what he's saying here. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. That rock foundation of Jesus Christ is what we're talking about. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, that's the thing about knowing Greek is you find out that some of the words they translate the same is not really the same. And in this verse, you find it was slammed against that house, and it's used twice, isn't it? It's used twice. And it's translated the same meaning, slammed. Well, in the Greek, there's a little difference in those words. Kind of a play on the words. The first one there means tremendous force come against that house. Slammed against that house built upon the rock and could not do anything with it. Well, the second word there for slammed means to stumble against. Very little effort. And that house fell. That house fell. And great, as he says here, was the fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 again. For no man can lay a foundation of the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Which is Jesus Christ. So he is the one and only foundation. Only one way to heaven from planet earth. Only one way to heaven from planet earth. What did Jesus say in John 14:6? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Another very important verse, isn't it? Very important verse. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the truth, not a truth. He said, I am the life, not a life. A definite article is there before each one, which puts emphasis upon what he is saying there. No one, that's emphatic. That's in the emphatic position. That's an emphatic word. No one comes to the Father but through me. Brethren, all these things ought to get our attention and ought to help us to, when we're talking to others, to be sure we give them the truth. We need to love others enough to risk their friendship in order that they may know the truth. Because again, there's nothing worse than passing from this life apart from Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no tragedy greater in this life, anything you can think of that is worse than leaving this world without Jesus Christ. So the first thing we looked at is the deception and misconception of salvation. And it's all over our world out there today. And we need to know the truth. And the truth will set us free, and we ought to use that truth to help set others free as well. Second thing we want to look at is the deception and misconception of grace. Now that's a biggie in our world today. The misconception and deception about grace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Boy, I love that verse. And it is so true. I can never do anything that will merit my salvation. Jesus has already taken care of that. I will not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done, but I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. So I do what I do, not to merit my salvation. I do it because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my love. He is my life. And that's what is required if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. And we ought not to see all the misconceptions and deceptions out there concerning grace that's in our world today. Grace is not going to cover everything. It's not going to cover everything, as we're going to find. So don't confuse grace with overlooking of sin. Don't confuse grace with overlooking of sin, because God does not overlook sin. As he says in Acts 17 and verse 30, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all men everywhere should repent. So God is not going to overlook willful sin in your life if you're continuing in it. God is not going to overlook a lifestyle that is not in accordance with his commands. And we cannot blame God, because God has given us the Holy Spirit when we were immersed into Christ, and we have everything we need in order to fulfill the rest of his commands. You know, there's four books telling you about Jesus. There's one book tells you how to be saved and all the conversions in the book of Acts. And then there's 21 epistles tells you about living the Christian life. And there's many commands there that we must be obedient to if we're going to be remain in Jesus Christ. And grace is not going to cover those things that we're able to do. Grace is going to cover the things we fall into. Grace is going to cover the things that we do not know. But it is not going to follow us living a lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God. Contrary to the belief today, everybody's not going to heaven from planet Earth. And there's not many ways to heaven from planet Earth. And we as a people of God need to understand, realize that, and that we need to stand up for the truth, and we need to share it with others. You know, the Bible says all who will live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So if you're not running into some flack out there today, maybe we better check our lives. And then it doesn't matter whether it's convenient or not convenient, we need to stand up for the Word of God. We need to stand for truth. Because people are going out into an eternity of hell. And if we don't say anything, their blood will be upon us. So again, love people enough to risk their friendship in order to see them saved. So grace then is applied after faith, obedience, and full surrender. Then God's grace comes into it. When we're immersed into Christ, God comes in there and he takes away all of our sin, doesn't he? He takes away all of our sin, and he says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit so you'll have the power to live the Christian life, to do all things that I have commanded you. So again, God supplies the power if you have the desire. And we need to look to God's Word and find out all those things that he says is necessary in our living of the Christian life. Grace doesn't replace the commands of Jesus concerning the cost. You know, before we bring a person to Christ, we need to let them understand the cost. We need to go all the way back, tell them about the cost. And Jesus made it very plain in the gospel narratives, did he not? He made it plain if we're going to follow him, it's going to cost us everything. It means that we're going to be crucified with Christ, we're going to die with Christ, we're going to be buried with Christ, and we're going to be raised up with Christ. And that's what we are to do, and then God takes care of the rest, doesn't he? God takes care of the rest. So God, the grace doesn't replace the commands of God concerning Christian living. And we're going to look at that in just in a little bit. But be aware of the deception and misconception of grace, that grace is just going to cover everything and everybody's going to heaven, whether they've been obedient to gospel or not. No, grace does not cover that. Grace covers what we do in ignorance, that which we have not given thought to. Notice again, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's in the Word of God. You don't hear that much today, do you? You don't hear that much today. Well, if anything or anybody in this world we love more than we love the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, then he's not going to accept it. He will not play second fiddle to anyone or anything. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he was saying to them all, there's a little if word again. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He didn't say deny your chewing gum for Lent. He said deny himself. Deny himself. So that means we deny self because we no longer live for ourselves. We live for him who died for us. He is our life from that point on. Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Problem is, we want to add everything in the world to our life and then blow the fumes in God's face, and God's supposed to accept that. That's not the way it works. He is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. I cannot emphasize that enough. It's a very, very serious matter, isn't it? A very serious matter. This grace is not applied to areas within our power to do. Grace is applied to our lives in areas beyond our capability. And that the things that God has commanded, they're within our capability. Again, I want to repeat, God does not require anything of your life that he does not give you the power in order to fulfill it. So anything God says in His Word not to do, that's not for His benefit, that's for yours and mine. If He says to do something, He knows that's what will bring us the greatest joy in life. Because you see, He made us. He created us. He knows what will bring lasting joy, peace, and happiness to our life. And He has made it all available unto us. Grace is God's love to us, and our obedience is our love to God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love because He first loved us. And boy, did He ever. Everything that God has ever done is because He loves you and He loves me. Now, I'm one of 350 million Americans. God loves me. You're one in 350 Americans. God loves you. We're one. I am one in 7 billion people on the face of the earth. And God loves me and God loves you. And He died for each one. He is a personal God. And that blows the mind, doesn't it? Jesus left all the glory of heaven just to come here for me. For me. If your ego, you're having a problem with your self-esteem, well, that should build your ego. That should build your esteem. Because God loves you, and He gave everything in order that you might have salvation, in order that you may come to live with Him for all eternity. The third thing we want to look at is the deceptions and the misconceptions concerning Christian living. Concerning Christian living. Oh, Satan, he's got it all planned, doesn't he? Well, you're okay. You've been immersed. That's it. That's your ticket to heaven. Just sit back and relax. Just wait for Jesus to come again and you come home. Just live your life any way you want to. You know, that's what Satan would tell us. Because God's grace and God's just going to take care of everything, as we've already looked at. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. God requires things of our life, and He gives us the power to succeed. So, you know, He would tell us, well, you're a good person. Now, I know a lot of good people, but if they don't change their ways, if they don't accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. And I say that with tears. I'm sad for it, but they will not listen. I have family members that know the truth, and they will not be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That breaks our heart. But that certainly we cannot alter the truth because of that. We cannot alter the truth. Again, we need to risk their friendship in order that they may know the truth of God. What does the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, a lot of people like to stop right there. But you know, it goes on. It goes on. There's a for there after that. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That means that's where we live. That's where we live. That's what we flesh out on a daily basis. The Word of God becomes incarnate in us, and we flesh it out on a daily basis. And we live for Him who died for each one of us. We are to live for Him. The Bible makes that clear, does it not? And we get rid of every weight, everything that holds us back, as Hebrews would tell us. And we need to live for Him. Keep our focus upon Him, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Peter. He lost his focus, didn't he? Got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and everything around him started getting his attention. And what happened? Down he went. Well, the same thing will happen to us if we start looking at the world around us rather than looking to Jesus Christ. Because He is the one that we need to keep our focus upon. And that becomes more difficult in this day and time in which we live. But everything is acceptable. Everything acceptable. Things acceptable out there today is an abomination to God. But we've made it into law in our land. How sad. How sad that is. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. There it is again. I mean, you know, the people I find the most secure in our world out there today is the ones who know the least about the Word of God. And we need to get into the Word, let the Word get into us. We need to flesh it out on a daily basis. We need to know what the commands of God is. And we need to obey them. And He then will give us the greatest life we can live, won't He? He'll give us the greatest life available. Again, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You don't hear that much anymore either, do you? And it's not just for the Apostle Paul. It is for us as well. I have been crucified with Christ. See that? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Well, that's not just for the Apostle Paul, that's for you and that's for me. That's what we are to be doing. We have been crucified with Christ. We have been buried with Christ. We have been raised with Christ. A new creation. And now we are to live the life He's called us to live. And He's given us the power, as we said. He's given us the power. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to Him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay His head." And He said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my Father." He said to him, "Allow the dead to bury the dead, and as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me," there it is again, "but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, this is emphatic, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." It's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's like a sow returning to the mud after being washed. And if that same thing is true for us. And there is no first me if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. There is no first me. There can be no first me if I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Forward ever, backward never. Be to keep on growing and growing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No shrinking back. The writer of Hebrews made that clear, didn't he? Hebrews 10:38 makes it very clear. "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." So you see, over and over again, the Bible's telling us and warning us of what's going to happen if we shrink back, if we turn back and don't continue on faithfully for Him. The prize is for those who finish the race of faith. We must finish the race. And God has given us all the tools, everything we need to finish that race and to finish it with great victory. It's all ours if we follow what God says in His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Well, that is a great verse for us as well, isn't it? He says, "I have fought, I have finished, I have kept." And I hope when we get to the end of our life, we can say that as well. Because that's not just for the Apostle Paul. He could not say that just because he was an apostle, it's because he was a Christian. And he ran the race, and if anything got in his way, didn't matter what it was, he ran over it or ran through it. And the same is to be true in our life today. Love and desire is the key for success in living for Jesus. Again, love and desire. You may have a strong will, but I can tell you this, that desire is stronger than will. You may will to do something, but unless the desire is there, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we must have that desire, that we love the Lord enough, we have the desire to be and become all that He would have us to be and become. So in conclusion, do not be deceived and misled by self-deception. It's bad enough Satan's out there doing it. 98% of the religious world out there is doing it. But the very saddest part is when we do it to ourselves. It's when we see it in the Word of God, say, "I know that's what the Word of God says, but," well, everything after the "but" is we're in trouble. That's when we get in trouble. We need to fully get into the Word of God and understand His way and will for our life and then to flesh it out on a daily basis. It's time to get serious about God's Word in every phase of our life. Every phase of our life. And everything is essential that's in the Word of God. Especially when it comes to the plan of salvation. To every part is our relationship with God through Christ is essential. It is essential. Do not be deceived. How many times does Scripture tell you that? Who is He talking to? Well, He's talking to you and He's talking to me. The you is understood, isn't it? The you is understood. You, do not be deceived. And I'm just going to look at three verses here where it says, do not be deceived. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, go along with that, there's also verses that say those who have not been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if those ones bother you today, well, you know, if you're not obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll be spending eternity with them. You'll be spending eternity with them. So they have never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Young people need to take this to heart. You, as understood there, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You don't go to the devil's den and try to win people over. No, if you want to witness to them, you do it where they're at and at other times and when you're in the devil's threshold. So, again, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. There it is again. God is not mocked. That means God will not be laughed at. That means you cannot sneer at Him. That means you cannot turn up the nose at God. It's what it's saying here. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Again, matter sowing and reaping, isn't it? We sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. We sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Where are you sowing today? What area, what field are you sowing in today? So we need to take all those things very seriously and take them to heart. We must realize the cost. Realize the cost. And we must be willing to surrender all. Because that's what's required. That's what's required. It's all or nothing. Jesus will not play second fiddle to anything or anybody in this life. No matter how close they are to you, no matter what's the son or daughter or granddaughter and grandson or great-grandson, great-granddaughters, if they mean more to you than Jesus Christ, then, brethren, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. We must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. And Jesus made that clear throughout the gospel narratives. And we do not want to be deceived. And again, no hobbyists need apply. If you're looking for a tack on to your life, Christianity is not for you. And Christianity is not for everybody. It's for those ones who will surrender their will to God's will. Those ones who will be obedient to what God has said in His Word. There must be that genuine repentance. And that's, the word means a change of mind. It means metanoeo. It's a change of our mind, a change of direction. It means that we're going to decide, well, God, from this day forward, I want to live for you with your help. And He gives us the help because the Holy Spirit comes in to live. We must fall in love with Jesus. If the love is right, the life will be right. If the love is not right, the life will not be right. It's that simple. It's that simple. That's what it all boils down to. We must be crucified with Christ. We must be buried with Christ. We are risen with Christ. And so we're with and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Philippians 1:21 becomes a reality in our life. Can you say that with the Apostle Paul? It wasn't just for him. Notice what he says there in Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Well, that's for you and that's for me as well. If I wake up in the morning, it's Christ. If I don't wake up in the morning, it's Christ. And I'm so happy to be in that win-win situation because I'm already victorious in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. One is not prepared to live until one is prepared to die. And once you made that preparation for death, once you made that preparation through obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you go on living life and live it fully and abundantly. If we'll be faithful unto death, it's the greatest and most wonderful life we can live, but it's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you. What did Jesus say in John 10:10? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Why did he come? I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Have it abundantly. You want the abundant life? Fall in love with Jesus. Obey the commands of God, and you will have the greatest life that one can live, both here and for eternity. Our songwriter says, I surrender all. Well, that's exactly what's going to be necessary. If you're not willing to surrender your total being unto Him, then you're wasting your time. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But there's only one way into Him, and that's found in the Word of God as well. When you come in genuine faith, a faith produced by the Word of God, Romans 10:17 says, a faith produced by the Word of God. And that faith then leads us to see the goodness and kindness of God. That brings us to repentance. Being more than sorry for our sins. Having a change of heart, a change of mind, and a surrendering of our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, from this day forward, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. I want the old man crucified. I want the old man buried. I want to make that confession from my mouth what I believe in my heart, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm going to follow Him all the way. I surrender my all to Him. And then we'll be faithful until death. That's where Christian living comes in. Faithful until death. He will give us the crown of life. He'll give us a crown of life. It's all there for us. How foolish it is for people today to trade less than 100 years for eternity. That life we have here, that won't even make a speck in eternity. It will not even be noticed. We only have a short time here to prepare for eternity. And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And God's Word tells us how to prepare. Are you prepared this morning? Have you surrendered all to the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, you have that opportunity this morning. Jake comes forward, and as you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, as you stand, as we sing, I surrender all.
474.